The last time the Taliban ruled Afghanistan, women couldn't drive or leave the house without a male guardian. They were barred from working and attending school. But over the last 20 years, women in Afghanistan have gained the rights to do all of those things. And at this moment, that progress is under threat. The Taliban earlier this week tried to reassure that things this time around will be different. But people like Sunita Vishwanath say she knows the realities. Sunita is the co-founder of one of the largest Afghan women's rights organizations in the world, Women for Afghan Women. And Sunita joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. So you still have hundreds of workers of Women for Afghan Women who work with women in Kabul. How are they doing? What's the situation there right now?
Well, until very recently, we were fully functioning all across the country, and our staff in Afghanistan is 1,200 strong. So we've brought, you know, quite a few of our staff and high-risk clients to Kabul. Since August 15th, when the final takeover of Kabul took place, a number of our staff and clients have just sort of gone underground and integrated into the community, into their family, wherever, just to lie low and stay safe. But at this point, we have approximately 500 people hunkered down in Kabul, staff, families, clients.
When you say hunker down, give us the realities of the environment that they're in right now.
They're in buildings in Kabul, just really lying low under the radar. And staff members are leaving to get supplies, food, whatever, each day. And the clients are just staying put inside the place where they are.
Yeah. We're hearing reports of women being told not to go to the airport, that it's a dangerous place for them, even as they try to find a way out. You're telling your folks, let's just hunker down until we can alleviate the chaos and the danger. What are you hearing from the women you've spoken to specifically about that trek to the airport and the need to get out, but also feeling fearful?
It is a dangerous trip because there are Taliban checkpoints along the way throughout Kabul. And I'm hearing that the airport is very chaotic and it is dangerous. And there's even been shootings happening at the airport. But once there's a plane to take our folks out of there, we will need to get them to the airport.
I mentioned the Taliban, a spokesperson saying earlier this week that this time around things will be different for women, that women will be allowed to work and go to school and they're lessening the dangers for women. Do you believe that?
I could not possibly say. I mean, I hope it's true. The country needs that for sure. But if the statements they're making are true, if women can go to work, if girls can go to school, if the worst is that girls and boys will be seated separately in school, if that's the Afghanistan where education is actually available to all kids, we welcome that, of course. It also would mean that maybe we could continue our work, but it depends on whether what the Taliban is saying is true.
To add on more to what you're saying, some people like Gail Lemon at the Council on Foreign Relations believes that all the gains over the last 20 years may not be lost, that the Taliban may actually have a hard time reimposing repressive religious rule across the country. For one, she says, two-thirds of Afghanistan is under 25 years old. Can you speak more to this, how concerned you are, based on the knowledge you have had being on the ground there over these years, this idea of the Taliban erasing these gains that you've made for women's rights?
Of course, it's a concern. We've all worked for 20 years, and not only has the country grown to having female presidential candidates, to having more women in parliament than the U.S. has in Congress. And to see, you know, and the idea that all of that progress, which is, I mean, when you go to Afghanistan, you can see it, you can see, you know, it's palpable. And the fact that a whole generation has grown up in pretty much, you know, an open society with access to media and access to the work, women having access to the labor force, the idea that that would be gutted, it would be the biggest heartbreak of my life. But I agree with Gail, who has always been a dear friend to Women for Afghan Women. It might be a small chance, but there is a chance that in this new Afghanistan, there will be opportunities to keep, you know, a big part of the progress that was made by women. But right now, the 100% focus is on the 500 people who are very much at risk and we're working so hard to get out. And along with that is not everybody will get out. And there's a question of whether we can do our work and how we will keep the people who had to remain. And many people don't want to leave. They don't want to leave Afghanistan. Mm. They want their country. And so what to do to keep everybody safe who doesn't leave. And on the other side, our first program that we ever created was here in New York City, our Queens Community Center. And the Queens Community Center is doing strategic planning on how to respond to what might be a huge influx of Afghan refugees. And that is exciting work that our U.S. staff is gearing up to rise to.
Sunita Vishwanath is the co-founder of Women for Afghan Women. Sunita, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated the opportunity.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR. I'm Tanya Mosley.
And I'm Scott Tong. It's Here and Now.